This morning's message, I picked a passage from the New Testament, and it's in the book of Titus, and we're going to look at chapter 2. So flip your Bibles open to the book of Titus, and I titled it The Older and the Younger, because when Paul writes it, he actually writes it that way. As you look with me at the very first verse of the 15 verses that are in chapter 2, this is what the Bible says. But as for you, speak these things which are fitting for sound doctrine. So when you look at your outlines on the back of your bulletin, the first thing I want you to fill in that blank is that we're speaking about doctrine this morning. This is what Paul writes. Paul started this church, and then he asked Titus to come in after him and finish up what he started. And I can relate with Titus. Somebody started a church here a long time before I got here, and now I've kind of come in to finish up what's got started for a while, for as long as the Lord wants me to. But we need to understand what is sound doctrine for our lives. And what I'd like us to do is to go to the bottom line first. My wife always likes it when I get to the bottom line and then kind of color it in a little bit. So drop down with me to verse 11. Because in between is what you and I need to consider in our life, but this is the bottom line. Beginning at verse 11, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good deeds. So when you look at your outline, you'll find this. The bottom line, the doctrine that we need to look at first, just in case any of you fall asleep in the sermon, this is the most important part. The doctrine of God's grace bringing salvation to us. And as you look through these four verses that we just read, what God is doing through grace, which is His unmerited favor to us, none of us deserve it. It's given to us freely by grace to be saved and to be saved from ourselves and the world in daily activities. Not just saved for eternity, which you are if you're in Jesus Christ, if you've been born again. We were talking about education the other day at the VCL office and had visiting missionaries from Liberia, and he was talking about his education, and he said the only degree that means anything is that you have a BA. You need to have a BA, which is you need to be born again. If you're not born again, this salvation doesn't have any implication to you. But you need to receive that degree, and not by educational status, but by faith through God's grace. And that's the most important decision you could make today, is to accept that. And if you don't believe that you practically have that in your life, then you should talk to me or to Marty. Or if you're a female and you don't want to talk to a guy, talk to Jules. You know, talk to one of the ladies that have been up here. But actually make sure that you have that degree, that you are born again. Well, then the next thing is my part. The how-to's, my part of it. What do I need to do? I need to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and look for the hope of Jesus purifying me. Now, I don't know if any of you had a God encounter with the Scriptures this week, but I did. In one 24-hour period from three different sources, I was ministered to by Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. And this cute little book, The Joy of My Heart, written by Ann Graham Lotz, is what Julie and I do for our daily devotions. And if daily devotions scare some of you guys, just get one of these spiffy little books and ask your wife to read it to you and then talk to her for a minute about it, because that is what Julie and I do for daily devotions. And on November 3rd, this is the passage. Deny self. Matthew 16:24 says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. In three different passages from three different directions, in one 24-hour period, God spoke to me in that verse. And here's what Ann Graham says. The power in your life and mine results in blessing in direct proportion to the extent that I am willing to die to my own will. Or your own will. My own goals. Or your own goals. My own dreams. Or your own dreams. Your rights. My rights. It's what Jesus meant when he challenged his disciples. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. However, before you get too hung up on the cross, don't forget the cross. After the cross comes the resurrection and the power and the glory and the crown. Because Jesus was willing to die, he was blessed by God with a position of power and authority at the God's right hand. If blessing is in direct proportion to willingness to die to self, how blessed are you? So when I kept seeing that verse in all these different places, anyone's willing to follow me, then he's willing to come after me. He must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So, as we look at this passage, then in Titus, Paul's not writing anything that's out of line with what Jesus is saying. Denying ourselves these worldly, ungodly things is where you start if you're going to follow Jesus. And looking forward to that hope of Him actually delivering you, saving you from the situations that you're in. Now, that's the most important part of the message. As we look on in here and we read verses 2 through 10, here's what the Bible says. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, and perseverance. Verse 3, older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, not gossips, not enslaved to wine, teaching what is good, so that they can encourage the young women to love their husbands and to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so the word of the Lord will not be dishonored. Likewise, urge younger men to be sensible. In all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds, with purity and doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. Urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters, and everything to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering or showing all good, but showing all good faith so that you will adorn the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, in every aspect. Now look at your outline on the back of your bulletin. What I did was broke this down into the different groups. You'll notice on there that the men come first. In God's economy, men first. In the world's economy, what do they say? Ladies first. They got it backwards. The world's ways are backwards from God's ways. Older men, this is what the life of Christ released through our bodies should look like. We should be temperate. What does temperate mean? I looked in the dictionary to find out what that meant, and it said moderate. I should be moderate as an older man. So we shouldn't be extreme right, extreme left. We should be moderate. We should be dignified. That's stately or noble. In our culture, there again, a lot of that gets backwards. The ladies think they should be the one that are stately and noble and attract attention. And it's the opposite of what the Bible is saying to us. We men should be sensible. That's a challenge for some of us. For the young guys, you can just cut to the bottom line. Young men, you're supposed to be sensible. That's the only thing he challenges you with. But us older men should be sensible as well. As the life of Christ comes out of us, there should be common sense that comes out of our life. Sound in faith. What does that mean? It means that we should sound off. We should talk about our faith. We should have a healthy faith that is alive and vibrant in our lives. And we as men are talking about the challenges of faith and the successes of faith that go on in our life. Because that's healthy faith. Your faith should be challenged. And you should talk about that. You should also talk about the love you have for God, the love you have for your wife, and the love you have for your children, and the love you have for those around you in your daily life. Gentlemen, we should talk about that. We should sound off. I put on my Army uniform not that long ago and did an illustration of spiritual warfare. When I'm in the Army, or when you're in the Army, they challenge you all the time when you're marching to sound off. To make a deep, vibrant noise. Guys don't really like to do that. But we should. The life of Jesus within us, coming out, should talk about love. And we should be perseverant or enduring. As you look at life, you should be persistent. And not giving up in that. And you should talk about the challenges that you have, not just keep them to yourself. Because the young men are looking at you, and most young men don't realize the challenges that men have. But as you share your challenges, your faith, your love, your victories, your defeats, it will be an encouragement to the young men. Ladies, older women, younger women. The older women are to be reverent in their behavior. The life of Jesus coming out of you will be one that is reverent, or you could say that ugly S word, submissive. You should be submissive in your life pattern, reverent, not malicious gossips. And this is a challenge in our generation, as it was when Paul was writing to Titus, that ladies like to talk about people. And you're not supposed to. You're not supposed to be gathering data on people. That's the ways of the world. I happened to be in the checkout aisle at Osco's the other day. And as you're waiting in the checkout line, on the right side are all of the gossip magazines. You can tell what Brad Pitt's doing. You can tell what J-Lo's doing. You can tell... But there's literally over a dozen magazines that talk about what people are doing. And in that church that Titus was a pastor of, and in this church, there are women who talk a lot during the week about other people. And you're not supposed to be doing that. That's not the life of Jesus in you. And you're not supposed to be enslaved to too much wine. My heart doctor says 6 to 8 ounces of red wine is healthy for your heart. I asked him if there was any benefit to 24 ounces, and he said no. There's no benefit to 24 ounces. If you're not 21 years of age, use the grape juice. Or eat a red apple. Remember the old adage, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. There is things in the red skins of an apple, the red skins of a tomato, the red skins in grapes that is very, very beneficial to your life. But if you're doing more than 6 or 8 ounces, you're over the line. Stop it. Bring it back into the line. Don't do too much of that. And older women should be teaching what is good and modeling godliness. So, teaching the good things. It's not talking about the bad things. That's gossip. When you're giving prayer requests, you get to the bottom line and you say, this is the Bible benefit that we want to pray for. You don't share all the extenuating circumstances so people can pray effectively. That is gossip. Stop it. That's not the life of Jesus. And you should be encouraging young women. Encouraging them. My daughter just had a baby, and when she was getting ready to have the baby, there was a lot of women that wanted to talk about labor pains. But they were not encouraging. It's terrible. It's going to hurt. It's awful. That's the ways of the world. That's not the ways of God. I never did go to the women, did I? I'm to the bottom line. Encouraging young women. You're supposed to encourage them in what is good, not talk about all the bad stuff. Now, younger ladies. Now, all you older women were already younger women, so all you women as older women should have already had these in place before you got older. So it's interesting to me that God gives a man 6 things and He gives the ladies 13. Now, I don't know exactly why He did it, but that's the way the Bible's written. So, ladies, all of these are part of Christ within you releasing His life. And the first thing it says is to love your husbands. Be in love with the man that you're married to. Love him first. Love your children second. God always puts things in priority order. He always puts the first things first, the second things second, and the third things third. The most important thing for you is to love your husband, then your children. The challenge in being a wife and a mother is that you love your kids more than you love your husband. And I heard my wife tell me this, "Well, Bill, you don't need me, but they do." I said, "Well, lady, you're deceived. I need you way more than them. If I didn't need you, I wouldn't have married you. I need you." And the best thing that a wife can do, a young mom can do, is to show her children that she loves her husband first. Then love your kids second. But that's the role of a younger woman, which eventually becomes an older woman. To be sensible. That's the one common denominator between young women, men, and young men. To be pure. That's a challenge that you ladies should be seeking God's face on. How can I be more pure than what I am in my thoughts, in my activities, in my behavior, in my voice, in my habit patterns? How can I become more surrendered to this grace and salvation of Jesus Christ? To be workers at home, which is not a popular thing to say. It's not politically correct for a pastor to sit up here and say, "Ladies, you should be making a home for your husband and your children. You should not be making a career for yourself. You should be making homes for your children to be raised and reared in." Our society is going to be a disaster within our lifetime. With all of the children who don't have a home life, they have a daycare philosophy. The dads were taken out of the home in the Industrial Revolution, so they were abstracted from interaction with the kids. Now we go off to work rather than the kids work with us on the farm. And now the moms have run off and have gone to work. And the kids are being reared by somebody who's not their parent. That's going to be disastrous, and all of us will live to reap the benefits of that in our generation. Ladies, seriously consider, when you're looking at a new career, being a mom. That's it. Make the guy with the whiskers on his face make the money. Be kind. Young ladies should be kind. I just went to a high school event, and it's impossible for me not to overhear the comments that go around me. And some of the young women were not kind to each other in talking about their attire, in talking about their hair, in talking about... Have you noticed that, girls? You should not be one of those snibbies. You should be kind to people. Being subject to their own husbands. There's that ugly submissive thing again. That you actually are called to submit to your husband. To follow his leadership. Just like in Matthew, where we were talking about following Jesus, submitting to him, it's the same for you and I. That's the life of Jesus in you young ladies. So the Word of God will not be dishonored. So all of those things are things that you ladies should be releasing the life of God on. Now then, young men, gentlemen, be sensible. Preachers, us preachers didn't get out of the loop. Preachers, in all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity and doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach. That one's a challenge. So the opponent will be put to shame having nothing bad to say about us. Because of what I do, I'm in a different job class than you. And when Marty says this morning, can I ask the guys to pray for you? I say, oh, I need all the help I can get. I need all the prayers I can get. To allow Christ to show through me and fulfill those things, it's going to be an answer to prayer, folks. Now, workers, subject yourself to your masters in some of the things that you like. Is that what it says? No, it's not what it says. But that's the way we want to be workers, isn't it? For our boss. We want to do the things we want to do the way we want to do them. But if we don't like the way our employer is teaching us, training us, developing us, I was having a conversation with somebody about the United States Army. I said, it's a total disaster, but it's still the best one on earth. You know? And when you work for somebody, when you work for masters, you subject yourselves to them in everything. When you go to the job, you are their coolie slave. Be well-pleasing to your boss. That's what you should do as Christ's life, His salvation, His grace. As you deny the world, that's the way it should come out. Not argumentative. If you don't have something positive to say, don't say the negative argumentative things. Talk to God about those things. Not pilfering. Don't steal from the people you work with, the people you work for. Stop it. And we all do. We all take an extra few minutes here or an extra few minutes there. Well, maybe I shouldn't say all of us. I should just say most of us. No, I should probably say all of us. Cheat the boss on a little time here and there. We round the corners, don't we? Stop it! That's not the life of Jesus. But showing all good faith so that all will adorn the doctrine of our God and Savior in every aspect. So, what's the bottom line when you get to the Scripture? It's verse 15. All these things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority, and let no one disregard you. Paul's saying to Titus, God's saying to me, I'm saying to you, we should exhort, reprove with all authority these things in our life. We should build these things up. We should surrender to the resurrected life of Jesus Christ that we celebrated in communion today in such a way that when you look at that checklist, you can say, Lord, we're doing pretty good at this. You're showing through me in this. You're showing through me in that. Now, Lord, this one we need to work on a little bit more. Now, what is it I need to deny? What is it I need to put off? What is it I need to surrender in order for more of you to get out of me in that spot? That's sound doctrine. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the grace that you've given. Thank you for the salvation that you've given through Jesus Christ and no other name. Lord Jesus, as you are purifying us, we look forward to your hope of finishing that, your hope of saving us from every situation that we now struggle with. You are the deliverer. You are the wonderful one. Thank you for giving us this checklist to examine our lives. I pray that your Holy Spirit would enlighten our hearts personally as to the areas that you want more control, more of you to show out. Because the reality is we teach people what we know, but we reproduce who we are. So make us who you are so that we could reproduce that life in others. We ask it in Jesus' perfect name by the power of His shed blood and broken body. Amen.